then, rhythm show then. The simple explanation is nada. Make it hotter, thanks to nada. If you wanna hear what I'm saying, clean your ears and just come on and groove.
Dans la rue des blancs manteaux femme comme il faut, avec de beaux dafutiaux.
Mais la tête leur faisait défaut,
elle avait roulé de son haut, la tête avec le chapeau.
Dans le ruisseau, des blancs manteaux.
And welcome to the Pedal Revolutionary Radio Show. This is 101.9 FM CITR. And we are going to talk today about rain and you and your bike. That was a song called Wild Bike. It's actually off of the soundtrack, the music from Uncle. That's UNCLE with dots in between. So it was very, it was kind of spirific. Before that, you heard Juliette Gréco with a song called La Rue des Blancs Manteaux. And in my recollection from French class, oh, at least three or five decades ago, that means the Street of the White Coats? Maybe. I hope. If you'd like to call in and correct my French, you're more than welcome to. My name is Ifni. And again, this is a bicycle radio show, the only one of its kind in our fair city. And yes, it is a beautiful city. You are living in the rainforest. So part of that reality is accepting that we get these deluges of life-giving moisture from the sky on a regular basis. So we're here to talk a little bit about some practical things that you can do, making the transition from desert bicyclist to amphibious bicyclist. If you yourself have any tips that you'd like to share with people out there about maybe what you like to wear when it rains, or things that you've just done to your bike to get it ready, or that you plan to do when you get around to it, you can give us a call. It's 604-UBC-CITR. You can also email us Our email address is pedalrevolutionary@gmail.com. And we do have a website where you can find archives from our past shows. That's pedalrev, P-E-D-A-L-R-E-V, .blogspot.com. The last show that we did was an archive, or that's on the archive, is actually getting in touch with some of our folks who are running for office in the upcoming election. The last election in a, it's been like a marathon of elections this last month and a half, but this will be the last one for a little while anyway, and it is a very important election for those of us who care deeply about our city's bicycling infrastructure. So we would encourage you strongly to get out there and vote, although I will say that the Pedal Revolutionary Radio Show is, of course, in favor of insurrection, and we do not endorse a specific party. However, I encourage you, no matter who you give your vote to, please continue making the Pedal Revolutionary reality. Think and ride and talk and act and all those things. So we're going to be having a bicycle traffic report a little bit later and listening to some rainy music. But before that, David, our literary implant, has some words he'd like to share with you. David, do you want to take it away?
Yeah, sure. Picked up the latest issue of Car Buster magazine, number 32. I don't even know if it's the latest one or not. I'm not sure, actually.
I think it's from September, but that's not that old. That's
no, I guess rainy. Not. So there's a couple little tidbits in here that I thought I would share. First of all, one of the sections of the magazine is about different little tidbits of information about crazy stuff happening in the car world. There's something here from Hollywood to Mission Zero. Pirelli Tires proudly presents Uma Thurman in Mission Zero, an internet film to promote the P-Zero tire. Pirelli insists that Thurman is the, quote, actress who best represents the concept of speed and power in the collective mind of the international public, end quote. After John Malkovich and Naomi Campbell last year, it's Thurman's turn to drive her soul into oblivion. Pirelli is absolutely sure about the quality of the film. Quote, the result is a complete film that concentrates in 10 minutes the best that Hollywood has to offer, end quote. While the PR spin of Pirelli would have it that each Pirelli communication product is designed to become a true cult object, we're inclined to believe that the film's website won't get a lot of visitors from Carbuster's readers. The same can, in all likelihood, be said that other senseless car cult action from Hollywood, such as the Transformers movie by Michael Bay, released last summer. I used to sell Pirelli tires, and they're not cheap. Not the P-Zeros, but $600 a piece. from the same area of the magazine, they were saying here that religion sells cars. Some car dealers have found that including the aspect of religion can be a selling point with their customers. At the premier Pontiac Buick GMC dealership in Seymour, Texas, Derek Williamson puts a Bible in every car sold there. Quote, I put it on top of everything in the glove box, he says. He throws in one owner's manual for the car and one owner's manual for life in the hopes of helping people and for his customers to know that they are buying from a good, honest Christian. Meanwhile, Jerome Rizak, a used car salesman and classic car enthusiast from Chatsworth, California, helps churches in Los Angeles area sell the cars that are donated to them. I didn't know churches get cars donated to them.
I guess so. They're charities.
Guess so. With his reputation as the car guy ever growing, he finds mutual beneficial relationships and ever long-term friendships springing up along the way.
I'm so happy we don't get cars donated to us.
So we move on to the action section of the magazine. Street Panthers are a go. Disgruntled Greek pedestrians in Athens and beyond have begun taking the issue of inconsiderately parked vehicles into their own hands by placing stickers on the windscreens of vehicles that infringe upon pedestrian spaces. They hope motorists will begin to reconsider their parking options. The operation has proven popular, with over 2,000 members and over 250,000 stickers distributed in the last year. You can get more information about them at streetpanthers.gr. Sounds like fun.
Street Panthers. Is that like the Black Panthers, but kind of continuing that legacy?
Quite possibly. On to Germany. Strike bike success. Workers at a bicycle factory in Nord... You can tell I'm an English speaker.
Giver.
Nordhausen, Germany. My grandmother's spinning in her grave right now. Made history with the first successful self-managed production project in an occupied German factory. The workers occupied the factory on July 10th in response to the bankruptcy and proposed closure of the factory. With extensive press coverage and a successful solidarity campaign, 1,800 bicycles were ordered and production of the three-speed city bike begins October 23rd. You can get more information at strike-bike.de.
That's an awesome email or website address.
That is very interesting, yes. Let's go for another action-oriented thing here. Oh, wait a minute. No, that ended. You're going to have to get the magazine to get all the other ones now. In world news, world bicycle news, 13 years around the world of human power. British citizen Jason Lewis just completed a 13-year trip around the world using only the power of the human body.
Is it 13 years?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
The 40-year-old man arrived in Greenwich on October 6, finishing the last leg of his journey in his boat, Moksha, paddling up. Oh, it must be a pedal boat. Okay. Paddling up the River Thames.
Maybe it's one of those swans. You know, like.
He traveled 74,000 kilometers or 46,000 miles around the world, riding a bicycle, a pedal boat, kayaking, hiking, and swimming. During the course of his trip, he broke both legs in the United States after being run over by a car while rollerblading. And he was also threatened with a 40-year jail sentence in Egypt for illegally crossing a border. Lewis intends to continue his career by organizing expeditions for young people and giving talks on climate change. You can read more about him at, I guess, his website, expedition360.com. And I think that is all from this wonderful magazine. Oh, no, I have one other thing tabbed here. Under studies and reports. Culprit found to be the car, not the candy bar. The National Heart Forum has demonstrated that increased car use is the key factor in rising obesity in Britain. Since the 1970s, the portion of households without a car has more than halved to only 19%. Concurrently, the average time spent walking every week has fallen to less than an hour. A further effect of this is that when a lack of exercise compounds over a year, the average adult gains 2 pounds and 11 ounces, approximately 1.3 kilograms, annually. These findings were placed squarely next to another study indicating that Britons, or people from Britain, do not consume appreciably more calories than a generation ago. So there we go, some beautiful tidbits from Car Busters magazine, and I suggest everybody will go out and get it.
Where do people find it, Dave? I know you got yours from a friend, but if they don't have any friends?
I have no idea. I imagine, let's see what they say here. You can go to carbusters.org, and you can order it online there or get a subscription.
And I will say, too, there is this issue that you've got has a gorgeous cover. It's taken. Can I see it for a second? It's very minimalist. It's a white cover with just this black, very sharp stroke on it. And it's based on the design for the Zen Circle, or otherwise known as the Enso, which is actually it's a circle. But what they've drawn on the cover is this kind of broken circle to kind of represent, you know, dropping the ball in terms of the interconnectedness of things. And it's car culture. Wow, nice to be a tourist and not a resident. Okay, so again, you're listening to 101.9 FM CITR, and we're going to talk about rain a little bit today. We've talked a little bit about cars. One thing I wanted to mention to folks is that everybody again knows that the municipal election is coming up. What is it, next week? Is it next week? Oh my gosh, it's right around the corner. It's very soon. City Hall is, of course, up for grabs, but it's up for grabs in more than one way. For those of you who ride the 10th Street bike route on a regular basis, you probably know the excitement that is Cambie and 10th. I'd like to share with you an email that went out onto the Velo Love mailing list recently from Richard Campbell. It would be great if folks, either if you ride that route or if you ever have the misfortune, the fortune of having to use it, you've seen that it's extremely difficult to get across sometimes. It's been closed in certain sections, and it's a little bit hairy getting across. So anyway, I'll read a little segment here. So it says, due to Canada Line construction, 10th Avenue at Cambie has been closed to motor vehicle traffic for the last 2 years. We should have an echo on that. Two years. Meanwhile, traffic on 10th between Cambie and Oak has grown to unacceptable levels, of course. And both Dave and I have lived at Cambie and 12th and can tell you how frightening seeing the transition in motorist traffic and attitude and stress level in that area has been frightening. A lot of cars have tried to kind of use some of the side streets to zip through, and they've gone, you know, those little streets that say only bicycles can enter, and the cars just kind of drive through because they're desperate and they're upset. And so it's just led to a lot of unpleasant interactions between cyclists and drivers, and of course pedestrians and residents. But anyway, so on with this email. Those words weren't from Richard, by the way, full disclaimer. That was from me, my little editorial edition. So the Bicycle Advisory Committee, this is back to the letter, is recommending that 10th Avenue on the east side of Cambie, remain closed to traffic. Motor vehicular traffic, until the city finds a way to address the excessive traffic on 10th between Cambie and Yukon. Richard says, I'm extremely concerned that if 10th Avenue is opened at Cambie, motor vehicles will speed through this section and travel down Yukon to Broadway, even increasing traffic on 10th. The corner of Broadway will be congested due to increased pedestrian and bus traffic at the Canada Line station. Vehicles will likely increase their use of 10th to avoid this congestion. Even worse, a passenger drop-off zone is being proposed on 10th at Cambie. This will increase traffic on both 10th and Yukon bikeways. And you can actually, if you go to the city website and do a little search, there is actually a PDF there talking about this plan. If you can't find it, email me and I will I'll get it to you. That's pedalrevolutionary@gmail.com. So Richard goes on to say, please contact the mayor and council and council candidates who are running to encourage them to keep 10th Avenue at the east side of Cambie closed to motor vehicle traffic. If you have any 10th Avenue horror stories, this is a great chance to let council know about them. So, please email the people who are now sitting in City Hall. Please email the people who want to sit in City Hall and let them know that actually City Hall is adjacent to, for cyclists, what has become a little bit of a nightmare. And there's not a real good reason that, that cyclists shouldn't be protected on that route. It's a very busy route. Okay, I will also mention, too, upcoming, Bike to Work Week is coming. Another one. And this is a great one because it comes right around the time that the heavier rains also come. So it's a way to keep up the teamwork. If you go to the VACC website, they've got some details about that. But Bike to Work Week is November the 17th to the 23rd. Registration is now open. And so you can register yourself and your team. There's prizes to win and the commuter stations. There should, I would assume, be the same as every Bike to Work Week. There should be some free meals coming along with this. There's free breakfast stops, so that's always nice. And you can take a look at their website to find out where those sites will be. Even if you're not biking to work, bike down there and get yourself a free meal, okay? I wanted to mention those couple of things. I think we should play a song, Dave. Yeah? You want to just press the play button and I'll stop talking.
Oh, it's still too much to get
just a little too much.
Was the last one okay?
Yeah, it was fine.
Is it still going?
Yeah. Non-stop.
Okay. Looking for another place. riding to the sun. Keep going.
Thank you.
And the first song you heard there was actually a demo from Lou Reed, and it was called Ride Into the Sun. It's off an album called Ultra Rare Tracks, Volume 2, but you can also find it on the internet if you know where to look. And then we heard Slim Whitman with a song called There's a Rainbow in Every Teardrop. What a fantastic yodeler this fellow was. Fantastic. Anybody named Slim knows how to yodel. I think it's just an automatic thing. It's bestowed upon you once you take on the mantle of the nickname Slim. So that was a happy rain set. And let's talk about being happy in the rain. I want to share with you a little bit of information that comes from the late and great Sheldon Brown about tires. A lot of people have a lot of different feelings about what kind of tires you should put on your bike. And then, and you know, there's those knobbly tire folks who think that knobbly tires are really great on the road. Because they look knobbly, but really, knobbly tires are designed to kind of get rid of the rocks and things, and you know, when you're going off road. And I'd like to speak a little bit to riding on the streets. One thing I'd like to get out there before I mention, I'll just talk about Sheldon. So he has a little thing on his website called Tread for On-Road Use. So if you go to Sheldon Brown's website, you can actually find a lot of information about anything bicycle related. But this is a nice little tidbit. His website is sheldonbrown.com, and he says, bicycle tires for on-road use have no need of any sort of tread features. In fact, the best road tires are perfectly smooth with no tread at all. I know. I read that, and I'm like, what? He says, unfortunately, most people assume that a smooth tire will be slippery, so this type of tire is difficult to sell to unsophisticated cyclists. Most tire makers cater to this by putting a very fine pattern on their tires, mainly for cosmetic and marketing reasons. If you examine a section of asphalt or concrete, you'll see that the texture of the road itself is much knobbier than the tread features of a good quality road tire. Since the tire is flexible, even a slick tire deforms as it comes into contact with the pavement, acquiring the shape of the pavement texture only while in contact with the road. People ask, quote, but don't slick tires get slippery on wet roads? Or worse yet, wet metal features such as expansion joints, paint stripes, or railroad tracks? The answer is, yes, they do. So do tires with tread. All tires are slippery in these conditions. Tread features make no improvement in this. And this is why Sheldon Brown is the go-to fellow. This is why he is sorely missed. He just tells it like it is, and he has such good reasoning, and he knows what he's talking about. Oh, my God. So you've heard it there. You don't need to go and get crazy treaded tires. I've actually got a pair of Pan Racer tires that I won in a race, and they are supposedly wet weather tires, and they do have a tread. But I just discovered this information today, so I'm going to think about maybe getting some smooth tires. Keep in mind that, you know, he's right. The things to watch out for, like road stripes, are slippery, folks. Leaves. There's lots of leaves on the floor, on the ground these days that have fallen. They get wet, they get soggy, they get mushy. They are really slippery. So now is the time to kind of be a little bit conscientious when you're taking corners. Don't take them too fast, because you got to get back into that groove of remembering that the road surface has actually, it's changed, it's slippery. I want to talk a little bit about lights. It's dark early. We have now fallen back, so it gets dark really early. Don't get caught coming home from somewhere in the dark. Lights, in my opinion, I'm no lawyer, I'm no doctor, I'm a biker, we know this, in my opinion, are the most important piece of equipment for your bike as far as safety goes. They will help you be seen, and yes, riding like a ninja is fantastic and a good idea. You should never expect other people to see you. However, help in that department, there's nothing wrong with that. So you can get there's lots of good light options. You can get little cheapo turtles that you can pull off and put in your pockets when you go inside. Remember that lights get stolen when you park your bike, so you might want to get the ones that are easy to pull on and off. You might want to put some lights on your helmet. You might want to put some lights, there's these little lights that kind of screw into your tire, to the tire valve, and they light whenever your bike is in motion. You might want to get a pair of those. They're beautiful, and they also help with cars that are coming to you from the perpendicular direction. So folks, get out your lights and make sure that you've got them on and that the batteries are charged. Another thing, you want to, this is, I'll give you some of my own things that I do. I usually, this time of year, I start carrying an extra pair of gloves in my bag just as a standby so that if I bike somewhere and it's raining and my gloves get wet, then when I'm coming back, I've got a nice, fresh, dry pair. You might want to keep a plastic bag tucked under your seat springs on your bike. I just keep one there. It's always there. And that way, if I go somewhere, if I go, whatever, grocery shopping or to the movies and I come out and it's been raining, or if I get somewhere and it looks like it's going to rain, I can just put that plastic bag on my seat and then I don't have a wet bum on the way to my next destination. Some people like to, and you can keep extra plastic bags in there. Some people like to put plastic bags around their socks before they put them in their shoes if it's really, really pouring suddenly and you get kind of caught. Or they put the plastic bag entirely around their shoes. That's another idea. Another thing that you can do is, and this is what I do, I wear earmuffs often, just a little light pair or sometimes like a little light headband to keep my ears warm. I don't like the cold air rushing past my ears. Sometimes I wear a hoodie under my helmet that keeps the rain off my neck. Essentially, I guess if you just remember that, you know what, the rain's not going anywhere, and cycling, actually, when you're wearing, you know, the kind of equipment that'll keep you dry and keep you comfortable, it's not that bad, and it's actually nice to get outside, and it's refreshing, and it'll keep you active all winter and keep you from getting the winter blues. Some other suggestions that I was reading today, don't ride through puddles. Yes, it's fun. Ride through them if you're kind of expecting to be off-roading, but you'd never know if there's a big pothole lurking in that puddle or not, especially if you're on the 10th Avenue bike route, you know, coming up to east of Main Street. There's a lot of potholes there. Again, take it easy. Give yourself a couple of extra minutes, like leave a couple minutes earlier so that you don't have to rush as much. Braking is something that you can't do as quickly when it's wet weather. And also when you're riding, if you're riding for a long time and you haven't braked recently, you might want to just brake lightly while you're riding, and that'll kind of dry your brake pads so that if you need them, they're not going to be slick, and that'll help you to stop a bit faster suddenly if you need to. That's kind of what I want to say about that. Again, if folks out there have some tips about things that they like to do, you can email them to pedalrevolutionary@gmail.com, or you can phone into the studio while we're in here today. We've got a bicycle traffic report coming up. And so maybe, Dave, do you want to play a song? And then we'll get Trevor on the line, and then he can give us the word from the street. That was Chuck Ahearns and the Cannonballs. That was called American Party Song, Democrats and Republicans. So I just thought, again, there seemed to be, we're in a deluge not only of water, but a deluge of elections at the moment. So anyway, we have Trevor McEwen on the line. Trevor, are you there?
I'm here, Ifni. I'm here in the corner of South Granville and 10th Avenue. The rain is pouring down, and just about every 40 seconds, the light changes, and another 2, 3, 4 bicycles head left and head right. It's amazing. They're out here. They're in the rain. Some of them are looking very damp around the edges. Not a whole lot of really proper rain gear. You'd think they would have thought that winter was coming, but no. Not seeing my favorite Gore-Tex a whole lot. You are seeing everyone wearing helmets. Good to see. And just about all of them have pretty serious light systems, which is something you really need in this weather.
Did you say light distance?
Flicker lights on the back, good, powerful lights on the front.
Ah.
And there goes a Gore-Tex jacket, looking good. the yellow looks a little geeky, but hey, you know, it's really nice to be seen again in this kind of weather. It's dark, it's slick, it's wet, and motorists are blind.
Excellent. Well, geeks live longer, so there's nothing necessarily wrong with actually embodying geekness.
Gore-Tex is my favorite fabric. Well, not entirely, but certainly we're this kind of weather.
Interesting. Well, it sounds like quite the spectacle to behold. What kinds of things are people wearing? I know you said they're not prepared, and I know it's, I guess it's a bit early in the season, but what are you seeing out there?
I'm seeing everything from your full bike gear, you know, that skin-tight fabric that's made out of polysyllabic stuff I can't even begin to pronounce. Some Gore-Tex jacket. There goes another one. Some people aren't wearing much more than reflective vests. Well, they're wearing more than reflective vests, but in terms of protective gear. I'm seeing blue jeans. I'm seeing hiking boots. But everyone has a helmet.
Really? Now, are they like the bicycle helmets with the holes in them? So that, do they have like plastic, you know, shower caps on them or anything yet? Or are they going open?
Most of them are the open proper bicycle helmet. A few of them have got the covers, the caps on them. Mm-hmm. There's also a few, of course, of the mountain climbing helmets and just curious helmets that probably really wouldn't withstand much of a bounce, but oh well, they're trying.
And what kind of luggage are you seeing? Are people using panniers? Do they have plastic bags wrapped around briefcases? Like, what's that part looking like?
Everything from bicycle courier bags to not a whole lot of panniers. Or as I say, we're seeing a fair amount of traffic heading both east and west. So people going, perhaps heading up your way to UBC, some heading home, some heading to work, some heading to the club. I don't know.
Are you
it's a complete range of stuff. Just about everyone has some sort of bag, most of them over their shoulders.
Huh. Now, are you seeing anybody that looks like they were totally, I mean, it was raining, I guess, pretty early this morning, but are you seeing anybody that looks like they were caught totally unawares?
Oh, I think there's a few here that if they weren't caught unawares, just don't care. I don't know. But certainly, there's some pretty light jackets out here, some people are looking real damp.
What was that saying that you said to me earlier about getting wet?
I'm sorry?
What was that you said to me earlier today about getting wet?
Getting wet.
Yeah,
oh, well. I had a friend of mine who has absolutely no objection about getting wet. As he says, you can only get wet on the outside, and you always dry off.
That's right.
My belief is as long as you keep moving, you keep warm, and again, who cares how wet you are?
Yeah, unless you're made of sugar, in which case, if you are made of sugar, get off the streets right away.
Get off the roads now. Yes.
Now, Trevor, you are, you're a longtime Vancouver resident. How long have you lived in Vancouver?
Born and raised.
Wow, hey, one of the few.
Yeah. It never rains in Vancouver.
No, it doesn't.
No,
that's the official line.
It just keeps coming down.
It doesn't rain, it descends.
Yeah, it descends.
Now, you're an international conspiracy theorist, and you are part of the global conspiracy. Now, do you think that that's because you were born in Vancouver? Do you think Vancouver is a city that lends itself well to conspiracy?
Vancouver certainly is a center of conspiracy theorists. Conspiracy theorists and the conspiracy, of course, are two completely different and often unrelated topics. I maintain that I myself am one small cog in the global conspiracy. But then again, I maintain, and I will say to all those who are afraid that the Illuminati is trying to take over the world, I'm here to tell you they've already done it.
Really?
The Bavarian Illuminati of the late 1700s has won. They had three principal platforms or planks in their platform, if you will, the separation of church and state, limits and controls on the power of the state, and the emancipation of women, or the enfranchisement of all peoples.
So you're telling me that...
And yes. In the Western society today, well, we pretty well have that, so let's say that the Illuminati has won.
Wow. Now, did they do it themselves, or did they have help?
We helped them.
Who's we, Mr. Conspiracy Theorist?
We being the free peoples of the world.
Ah, and even some of the non-free peoples of the world, perhaps, have participated.
No revolution succeeds without the people.
Interesting.
Power to the revolution.
Now,
did I say that out loud?
Yeah, this is the Peddler Revolutionary Show. We try to get people to say everything out loud that comes into their mind. That's how we're all going to be able to kind of move
forward.
There
goes another Gore-Tex jacket. Good to see.
Now, Trevor, if people want to find out more information, and by the way, can I ask this? Did the Bavarian Illuminati, are they responsible for the rain as well, or is that somebody different?
No. We sort of ascribe that to an act of God.
Oh, or maybe
certainly I do.
Okay, or at least an act of the skies.
Yeah, nature, God, sky demons. You know, it all kind of blurs together.
If people want to find out more about
now, there's someone with more flicker lights than you can. Real bright.
Oh, really? Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. How many are you seeing?
One, two, three, four, five. That might be a sixth one, or something just reflected off there.
So are they a pessimist or a realist? And are they Bavarian, more importantly?
Well-lit.
So if people want to find out more about conspiracy theories in Vancouver and how that ties together and maybe how it ties into everything in the 17th century Bavarian Illuminati, where should they go?
Well, you can always talk to a Freemason.
Yes.
Most of them, of course, won't have a clue, but you might get lucky and find one who knows something about it. Or you could visit freemasonry.bcy.ca and look for conspiracy.
So that was freemasonry.bcy?
British Columbia and Yukon. It covers a lot of territory.
Okay, bcy.ca. Excellent. Well, Trevor, I really appreciate you you giving us the word from the street. You gave us some great visuals. And I have a feeling today we tried to address this. We tried to get the word out to people about, like, it's time. You gotta accept winter is here, and it's time to break out the stuff.
Yes, and not only worrying about the rain coming down, but the water that's pooling in the curbs when you pull over there, and a lot of leaves. Real slippery.
A lot of leaves. Yeah, absolutely. It's totally. Is there anything, by the way? I know you're also.
And some insane drivers. Oh, that was a special one. Just decided to shoot the light. He did.
Sweet.
Okay. Not a cyclist. A motorist.
What kind of car?
It's gone. It's dark out there. I can't really see.
So it was a dark car.
It was a big one.
Oh my goodness. Now, Trevor, I know you're an experienced touring cyclist, and you're an experienced cyclist. Are there special things that you do? Like I was saying, that one of the things that I do is I carry a plastic bag. I just stuff it under my seat so that it's always there if I want to cover my seat when I go inside somewhere. But are there special things that you do in rainy season?
Well, the Gore-Tex is pretty well on the top of my list. yeah. I generally travel with panniers. I'm doing long-distance cycling. And I just put everything inside of plastic bags, inside of plastic bags, inside of plastic bags.
Right. Excellent. Okay. I also wear a hat under, like with a brim under my helmet. That keeps the rain out of my precious.
Well, again, you know, I don't
devices.
Worry about getting wet on the outside.
Fair enough. No, it's true. It's not like it's freezing cold. Okay, well, listen, Trevor, we're going to let you go, but thank you so much. And please enjoy your...
I just saw my first cyclist without a helmet. Get a helmet!
Okay. On that note, bye-bye, Trevor. We'll leave him to holler at people in the street. And we have got a surprise visitor here. Justin has come by to see us. And actually, as I came to kind of welcome you to the studio and, like, pat you on the back, you're damp.
I am wet.
You've brought us some rain into the studio. That's so lovely of you.
Yeah, I'm busing a lot these days. I got rid of my car. I'm a reformed car driver. And now I have no car. I went car-free on the 4th of July, Independence Day. So it was quite funny because I phoned all my American friends and said, it's really a kind of a double Independence Day for me. I'm car-free, and it's Independence Day for the state. So, yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's wet out there, and I've got out the noose. I'm about ready to just end it all for the winter time.
The noose?
Yeah, it's so depressing here in the winter time.
You mean, like, literally?
Not really.
We might have to do an intervention.
Yeah.
I don't think we can lose you yet.
You got to start watching a lot of movies. Well, you know, moving here from the south, it's very different. Like, you know, it's pretty much 75 degrees down there right now. It's warm. Everybody's having a good time, and you know.
They're pretending.
Yeah.
They need to pretend like they're having a good time.
They're having a good time, believe me.
They're having, like, pina coladas. And
you know, people are still having parties out in the backyard, and, you know, people are rocking it, and some people still go up to the lake at this time, and yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, a really good use for nooses is actually they make really good lassos.
That's
for,
true.
For drivers that run the red lights, as Trevor just had the misfortune of witnessing.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. You got to get a really big noose.
Yeah. I just get really mad and think, oh, I should throw my coffee at him, and then think, no, I don't want to waste my coffee.
No, yeah. Coffee is a precious resource. It's a not very renewable nor sustainable, but...
I know. It's pretty bad. I've been thinking a lot about that lately, but I haven't done a damn thing. I say baby steps. I give up the car first. Coffee comes at a much later time.
Excellent. So how are you feeling now that your guy's big election is kind of the dust has settled and stuff?
Oh, my God. It was, you know, I cried.
Believe, did you?
I literally, my wife and I sat and watched it, and we had a little election party. We had a couple of people come over, and I'm not a Democrat. I'm really not into big-time politics, but it was a very transformative moment, and it was, for many Americans, it was like a big sigh of relief. I mean, you know, to walk around and to be so embarrassed and to feel such shame, it's, for me, it was you know, I can only speak for myself, but it was just like a, almost like the movie Waiting to Exhale. And, you know, I realized that maybe there's a lot of unfounded hope and optimism, but my God, at least the narrative's there now. Mm. At least we have the right narrative, I hope. And so, yeah, it was a very powerful moment for me in politics, and I feel like it's one of those moments that we'll look back and say, you know, like, hey, that was a very defining time. And I'm really proud of the American people, you know? I mean, yeah, half the people voted for McCain, but, I mean, there was half and a little bit more that voted for, and the youth vote is there. I mean, you look at the polling for under 30, and it was 75% and higher for Obama. So I'm really happy. I'm really, excellent, really proud. Yeah.
Now, can you vote in the...
Now, it's Canada's turn.
Yeah, well, we got to wait another 4 years. I don't want to talk about our election.
Okay.
Because right, then I'll start crying, too.
All right.
Can you vote in the municipal election yet here?
Yeah.
Well,
and
oh,
it's
good.
You know, it's been a wonderful...
It's okay,
wonderful...
you don't have to say who. You don't have to say who.
No,
oh,
but it's just been a wonderful democratic process for me. And I took my little 2-year-old daughter in there, and I said, you know, for the primaries. And I said, oh, honey, we're practicing democracy. And I let her take my ballot and put it in the box. And, you know, so I got to vote there. I vote in the federal election here in Canada. I got to vote in the federal election in the States.
Wow.
I'll vote in the civic election here. It's really a powerful thing to be able to participate so much and bring my daughter along and explain to her what's going on, even though she probably has no idea. But
yeah, it'll all start coming together. It'll all start coming together. Well, listen, Justin, thanks for saying hi to us. Stick around.
Yeah.
We're going to listen to a little bit more music, and then we're going to get on with the other life that this station practices. Stereoscopic Readout is going to be coming on, hosted by Darren G in a few minutes here. But, yeah, let's listen to some more rain music. Go for it, Dave.
Qui s'éveille dès le premier soleil, sur les fruits et les fleurs viennent danser les couleurs. Rue le Pic, les voitures de quatre saisons offrent toutes à foison tomates rouges, raisins verts, melons d'or et primes verts au public. Et les cris des marchands s'entremêlent en un chant, et le murmure des commères fait comme le bruit de la mer. Rue le Pic. Et ça grouille et ça vit dans cette vieille rue de Paris. Et ça chante et ça pleure et ça bat comme un cœur. Rue le Pic. Rue le Pic. Il y a du bon populo qui se bagnaude au hasard. Et des petits rigolos qui viennent faire le lézard. Rue le Pic. Et les Jules qui ne font rien ou qui n'en font pas trop se reposent dès le matin aux terrasses des bistrots. Et là-bas, deux amants sans façon se promènent tout contents. Aux marchands de quatre saisons, ils achètent du printemps. Rue Le Pic, sous les yeux amusés des badauds qui se trouvent là, ils échangent des baisers dans un bouquet de lilas. Rue Le Pic, rue Le Pic. Il y a des cabots et des gosses à poulbeau et un flic tout vermeil qui se prélasse au soleil. Mais surtout, il y a une belle fille aussi belle que l'été. Elle marche en espadrille et rit en liberté. Rue Le Pic. Et la rue est toute fière de son beau regard clair et de sa belle santé, elle qui l'a enfantée. Et toujours, la fille avec amour à sa rue dit bonjour et la rue extasiée la regarde passer. Et la rue monte, monte toujours vers Montmartre là-haut, vers Montmartre là-haut et ses moulins si beaux. Rue Le Pic, rue Le Pic, rue Le Pic.
And that was, believe it or not, The Lovin' Spoonful. That should take some of you folks back. That was a song called Rain on the Roof. And before that, you heard a woman named Patachou. She was singing a song called Rue Le Pic. And we played a little bit of Parisian music today just because, of course, Paris is a city that extracted itself from the clutches of the car cult and has reinvented itself along with the free bike programs going. And so, they're spreading the Velo Love around a little bit. And then the song before that was one of my personal favorites. I am tempted to change our theme to this, but it's called It's Revolution by American Standard, and it's from a musical called The Bathrooms Are Coming. Yes, The Bathrooms Are Coming. And today, it's Splash in the Streets. So we're going to listen to another song to take us out, but I'd like to thank everyone for listening, and I'd also like to thank everyone for riding. This has been the Pedal Revolutionary Show. My name is Ifni, and you're listening to 101.9 CITR.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. pass close to the Cayman Islands before bearing down on the southern coast of Cuba. BBC News.
You're with World Briefing here on the BBC World Service with Caroline Duffield. Well, global stock markets have sunk again, pushed lower by fears about the outlook for the world's economies. Dire predictions from an International Monetary Fund report didn't help, and the Bank of England's unexpectedly large interest rate cut also made some stock market traders nervous as they sensed that there could be a prolonged recession. In New York, the Dow Jones Index closed down by almost 5%. Well, this trader, Alan Volders, said it was uncertainty that was dominating the markets.
I think in general, consumers in general are just very leery of the market. There's no confidence out there right now, and you can't blame them. Because you see, we have these bear market rallies, but they just seem to fall apart within 2 days, and that's what you're seeing here.
As one trader in New York, well, the International Monetary Fund report warns that the economies of the developed world are all likely to shrink next year. Our economics correspondent Andrew Walker has been looking at it.
It's only a month since the International Monetary Fund published forecasts for the global economy. In the meantime, there's already been sufficient bad news to persuade the IMF to issue an update. It's now forecasting global growth of 2.2% next year, a world recession by some definitions. And for the developed world, the IMF predicts a contraction overall and also for each one of the large, rich economies. The sharpest decline for the year as a whole is 1.3% for Britain. The IMF's chief economist, Olivier Blanchard, said that if governments respond by using taxes and spending or fiscal policy, things might turn out somewhat better.
We think that a global fiscal expansion is very much needed at this point. If it comes, then the forecast we have might be on the pessimistic side, will be on the pessimistic side, and we think that this is one of the main priorities for governments to explore at this point.
He also said that monetary policy, interest rate cuts, should be used where possible. Shortly before the forecasts were published, central banks in the euro area, Britain and Switzerland, did just that. In the case of Britain, the cut was a very large 1.5%. The rate cuts failed to reverse substantial falls in European stock markets, which subsequently went lower still, as investors focused more on the gloomy economic outlook rather than the interest rate cuts. US markets are also lower.
That was our economics correspondent, Andrew Walker, there. Now, from the euphoric high of victory right down to the detailed business of actually governing, Barack Obama's now picking the men and the women who'll make up his team, and those are jobs that will make all the difference to the success or otherwise of his administration. Well, President-elect Obama has already made his first high-profile appointment. The Illinois Congressman, Rahm Emanuel, will be his chief of staff.
This is the son of an immigrant, the grandson of an immigrant, and here he is getting to choose professionally between a job as chief of staff, as well as to continue to represent the people of the northwest side of the city of Chicago, who've chosen again to re-elect me.
That was the man himself, Rahm Emanuel, speaking on Wednesday just before his appointment was confirmed to the media. Well, there has been a somewhat mixed reaction. A Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, who's worked with Mr. Emanuel arranging the presidential debate, praised his political skills. But another Republican, Congressman John Boehner, called the appointment ironic, considering Mr. Obama's pledge to govern from the center. Well, Mr. Emanuel is reputed to have a tough and somewhat aggressive style. Journalist Naftali Ben David.